Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome into our studios a repeat guest, someone that was here last year. John Rechner is here, the founder of the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you with us. And then we have a rookie. We have a young lady who is making her first appearance on Conducting Conversations, and Diane Nahabedian, is that correct?
That's correct.
Diane, welcome. She is the Director of Marketing for the Roger Williams Park Zoo. Did I say that correctly?
You did. Thank you.
All right.
You.
I want to make sure I get all the words in there. Roger Williams Park Zoo. It's different than when I was growing up. It was either Roger Williams Park or it was Roger Williams Zoo. Now it's one word, right?
It is. It's Roger Williams Park Zoo.
Okay. And Diane, we're going to find out a lot of things about the zoo, but the main thing we're going to talk about tonight, because John is here, is being the founder of the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, which is certainly a Rhode Island tradition now. For John, how many years have you been doing this?
Mike, we've been here since 2001.
Okay.
So this will be close to 16 years, I think.
So you started doing this right out of high school.
yeah.
So 2001, you've been involved. And what prompted you to start something like carving pumpkins?
Actually, I had read a article in Yankee Magazine about a show in northern Vermont. And basically, it was 500 simple jack-o'-lanterns on the side of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And very aesthetic, beautiful location. So to make a long story short, I'm back in Massachusetts taking my dogs for a walk and hike through the woods. A light bulb goes off visualizing these giant gourds with detailed images of presidents and different historical scenes. So it got a little more elaborate every year, and that's we added the music, and that's kind of where we are right now, Mike.
It was just a light bulb went off. Now, if it was a real jack-o'-lantern, it should have been a candle that went off, but that's all right, because now they're light bulbs, right? Now
right. Well, I'll tell you, our pumpkins are about 100 pounds a piece that we do all this intricate work on. And to illuminate them, we utilize LED bulbs because they don't heat the pumpkin up.
Uh-huh.
We had a problem where we were using fluorescent or incandescent, and the pumpkins were 150 degrees. Consequently, they didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken care of that dilemma, and we get about 7-8 days out of each pumpkin. Of course, it's a 30-night show, Mike, so we have to do each one of these like 3 or 4 times.
Wow, that's I want to get back to that, but I want to ask Diane, this is opening this week. This is a major event for the Park Zoo. And how long does this planning take effect? I mean, is this something you think about a month before or 6 weeks before? Or?
We actually think about this all year long.
All year long?
We gear up starting probably around July. I mean, really intense work. But we do think about it. Once the show is over, the zoo staff will take a breather. But we do. We look at what was great about the show. We mm-hmm. look at, you know, places we can improve or new things. So it's it's almost, it's on our minds all year long, and the planning is, I mean, it generally starts in the winter.
Okay.
John called me from his beach in Florida in January with the theme, and we get it right on our website, and we have a lot of folks who start asking about it in February, so we're talking about it all year long.
This is a big deal, so I want to get to, I have lots of questions, but let's get to a piece of music, because there is music playing while people are strolling through the exhibition, or the spectacular, as you call it. And one of the pumpkins, John, you told me before we went on the air, several of them have to do with dinosaurs, right?
Well, this is a theme of time travel, so we will start it out in the dinosaur era.
Aha.
And work our way up to the present.
All right. So, well, yeah. Then I think we should start with some John Williams music about Jurassic Park.
Thank you.
Well, we certainly have the music to set the mood, Jurassic Park, where it all began. As you say, it's going to be a time travel kind of thing. Diane, there's a website people can go to for further information, right? And that website is?
Go to rwpzoo.org, and Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular will pop right up on the homepage, and you can click right through.
All right. So if you want to check that out while you're listening, you can listen to John and Diane talk about the events that are happening there, but maybe you can follow along on the website. Now, this is going to open October 5th, and it runs all the way to November 5th. And there's some other interesting things that are happening at the park this year. Along with the little promo piece you presented me, I noticed there's someone in the sky. What's that all about?
So over Labor Day, we opened a Soaring Eagle Zip Ride. It runs every day at the zoo, but during the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, it'll also be running. So if you come in and you buy your ticket to see the spectacular at the end of the trail, you can buy a ticket to get on the zip ride, or you can buy it when you come through the door. It's first come, first served, but it will be spectacular to be 115 feet in the air and see the zoo, the pumpkins from that high up.
Now, how do you know that?
Because I've been told.
See, I kind of stuck her, didn't I, John? I found out before the show started that you have not been on the zip ride yet.
Well, I'll be on, I'm sure, at some point. But quite a bit of the staff has been on, and they are finding it quite an amazing ride.
All right, great. John, let's get back to these pumpkins. You talked about how large some of them are. You know, every once in a while, you'll see in the newspaper a new world record-sized pumpkin. And, you know, for me, a pumpkin is something that weighs about 2 pounds and sits on the corner of a table or something. But yours are all bigger than that, pretty much. How much, what kind of sizes is your favorite to do carvings on?
Well, Mike, we have a close friend here in Rhode Island who has grown numerous world records and sells his seeds worldwide. In fact, he sold a seed to a fellow in Switzerland who grew a 2,600-pound gourd in the greenhouse. But
not much you can do with that. I can't imagine you can move it, can you?
Oh, well, this is it. A bobcat won't lick it up, so we need a forklift. We had a 2,000-pound pumpkin last year. We cleaned it out, hollowed it out. It was up for one night, and somehow the pumpkin rolled away. Fortunately, the show wasn't on, but so it splintered into 100 pieces, and that was the end of the 2,000-pound pumpkin. It made one night.
Well, anyway, so you never know what's going to happen when you're dealing with something that's natural, because obviously you can't engineer it. But the average pumpkin is probably, what, about 10 pounds or so?
Yeah, the background pumpkins, we have 5,000-some background pumpkins. They're like 10, 15 pounds. And the average intricate carvings, they're on like anywhere from 80 to 100 pounds.
So you're going to start off with dinosaurs, so to speak, as we mentioned. And then what's the next time period that you're going to get
into?
Then
we work into the Ice Age.
Okay.
And cavemen, and that would take us up to beginning of Egypt.
Wow.
And ancient ruins, and
When you get to things like ancient Rome and stuff like that,
yeah.
Are you dealing with any famous people as far as the carvings are concerned, or what's the carvings?
A lot of architecture, Mike, in there, and from Stonehenge, Incas to Roman Colosseum, and and then that will lead us into ancient China.
Okay.
And that'll be a sizable skit, the panda bear and the Great Wall of China and dragons, things of that nature.
Do you get up to the I'm sure you keep going and get into the new world and so forth, and then things like, the founding of America and that kind of stuff?
Exactly. Well, we'll go through a time frame of the Renaissance and Shakespeare and some of the music of the Renaissance and the artwork. And then we proceed into the 18th century, which consists of numerous military conflicts, the Civil War, and we got Napoleon at Waterloo, Custer's Last Stand, and...
Why don't we stop there, because I don't want to get too far along in history. We're going to take a break in just a moment. We'll put in one piece of music that continues to help set the mood, and we'll go with a Lord of the Rings piece, and then we'll be back with more of the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular at the Roger Williams Park Zoo opening this week. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're talking about the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular that is opening this week at Roger Williams Park Zoo. And John and Diane are here talking about all the wonderful things you can see and do. And Diane, I mentioned during the commercial break that the last time I went to see the spectacular, I didn't actually attend. I went about 4 years ago, I think it was, and I drove in, and I couldn't find a place to park, and I left. Now, what are you going to do about that?
So I do hear that a lot, and as of last year, so the Jack-O-Lantern 2016, we implemented timed ticketing for the weekend nights, which are Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. When those are the big nights folks want to come. Mm-hmm. So you can only buy your ticket online. So go to rwpzoo.org and go online, pick the night you want to go, if you're planning on going on the weekend, and pick the time you want to go. So if you decide you want to go at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you get your ticket. It will have the time that you're attending. So that as you go in, somebody else may be leaving.
Ah.
So there's always parking. If you get to the lot and it seems crowded, don't fear. Somebody's probably leaving, or the parking attendant will tell you where to go. But the time ticketing alleviated most of the lines.
Excellent.
So we urge people to do that. Monday through Thursday are value nights. It's a little cheaper, and it's a little less crowded. So if you can get there Monday through Thursday, it's the exact same show, exact same snacks and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little less crowded. You can buy your ticket online or at the gate, but there are never any lines. So, you know, it runs October 5th through November 5th. So there's plenty of time for everybody.
And one more time for the website where you can get the tickets.
rwpzoo.org.
All right, excellent. John, let's get back to something you mentioned. You know, we talked at the top of the show about how long this takes Diane and her staff to plan. How long does it take you to actually physically carve the pumpkins? This is something you can't be doing during the summer. I mean, this is something you have to do at the last minute, right?
Well, Mike, we get the pumpkins in mid-September, and it's a mad drawing session, 7 days a week, 8 in the morning to midnight.
Wow.
What we need to do is have two sets of each pumpkin drawn in the event that the temperatures are very warm, and so we have to be well-prepared, and
How many people are working with you on carving?
I have approximately 20 artists, part-time, full-time, and they just, same people every year, they come back from what they're doing, and,
It's pretty amazing. Now, so you're directly involved with the actual carving, right? You actually carve some of the pumpkins yourself.
I do. Not as many as I did. I'm just more or less overseeing everything now, and rather than getting too preoccupied with it, but
so these people that come in mid-September work until, you know, the show opens, obviously, and then a few have to stay around in case there's something going wrong, right?
Exactly, and they'll be going nonstop up till beginning of November, and hope that we only have to do them four times and not five. So,
all right. Well, we've been
talking. See what Mother Nature has in store.
We'll see. Mother Nature's been a little bit tough on us this year, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully, it'll all go well. We've talked about how this is a trip through time, and we kind of left off in that middle period of a few hundred years ago. So, we're going to go out with a piece in this segment of Vivaldi, just to kind of help us get in the mood. And we'll listen to that for a few moments and then come back and talk some more with John and Diane about the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular at the Roger Williams Park Zoo. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular representatives. And John Reckner is here. He is the founder of the event. And Diane Nahabedian is here, the director of marketing for the Roger Williams Park Zoo. And John, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a moment to talk to Diane about some of the other things besides the spectacular that is going on at the Roger Williams Park Zoo.
Well, I think people are surprised when I say to them we're open all year long. We're only closed 3 days of the year. We're closed Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day. Otherwise, we're open all year. And what's so wonderful about that is you see the animals at different times of the year. You know, some animals love summer, some love winter. It's like us. We pick our season. But in some of the cooler temperatures, the animals get very active. And so it's a lot of fun for the kids to see them and see, you know, interact with them a little bit. This is a great time of year, October, for grandparents to bring their grandchildren.
I think that's a hint, John.
Yeah, that's a slight
hint. I bring my granddaughter
but,
there. Okay.
We're open every day. So October through March, we're open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then April through September, it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. But there's always something different going on. And the animals are out. The farmyard is open, so kids have a chance to feed the goats. We have, for those who haven't been to the zoo for a while, we have a Komodo dragon, and we're the only zoo in New England that has Elsie the Komodo dragon.
Elsie.
So we're ever expanding. You know, if you had been to the zoo 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, it's a completely different zoo than what folks might remember. So we invite you to stop by. Obviously, we want everyone to come to the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, but the zoo is open and the animals are out, and we'd love people to stop by other times of the year as well.
Right. Now, I used to live in that area, and I was a member of the zoo for many years and had a membership. Is that still something that you can do?
You can. So if you want to go back onto our website, rwpzoo.org, and you can take a look at membership levels depending on whether you're single or a family, but we do offer memberships. And the memberships come with some nice perks. So, you know, for some of the events we have, especially things like our Spooky Zoo the last weekend in October that's geared to kids, you know, some things are free. There's a discount on Jack-O-Lantern and Zip Ride tickets if you're a member. So take a look at the membership levels and what the offerings are. I think there's probably something to suit everybody.
Right. Sounds like something you should do and support the programs there. And then you get the discount. So if you're going to go see the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, you might as well kill two birds with one stone. Get yourself a membership or a family membership.
Yeah, we urge that. If you have a child, two children, whatever, take a look because it certainly pays for itself.
Can I get my granddaughter in on that? Or
I probably can. I have to look at the website, but I will say we see lots and lots of grandparents with grandchildren, and everybody always looks like they're having fun.
All right, it is a great place, a great experience. John, let's get back to the carving of the pumpkins. We talked about the time frame. And earlier in the program, Diane mentioned that you had called from Florida, so I presume you're a snowbird kind of guy now. Is that true?
What was it, Michael? What?
A snowbird kind of character, where you're up north in the summer and down in Florida in the winter?
Oh, yeah. Well, I held my breath. We got a small place in Sarasota, and this past hurricane, we had our fingers crossed. So.
Well, it's when you're walking through the woods with your dogs or wherever you're doing your thinking, how intricate can you get? I see some of these carvings, and I wonder the carvings on the pumpkin when you're doing a presidential face or something like that. How do you do that? I mean, not me with my old Boy Scout knife. It's a little bit different, right? What kind of tools do you use?
Actually, we use a $1 paring knife, sharp paring knife, and among a few tools. And the other tool looks similar to a wood carving tool. And then we use the Sharpie oil-based marker. simply the rain won't wash the image off the pumpkins. And that in number of hours of hard work.
Okay. So it's not as scientific as I thought it might be. It's a good old-fashioned way, right? Just
the good old-fashioned way, and our key is to get these pumpkins to last for a week or so. We need to hollow them out extremely well. The more pulp that you remove from the pumpkin, the longer it will last. And then what we normally do, after we've hollowed out these intricate pumpkins, we turn them upside down and put these massive fans on them. So we kind of like cure them and dry them out, and that gives us a few extra days of shelf life.
So see, everyone at home is getting some tips now. If you're going to do your own jack-o'-lantern at home, you just get a few professional tips from the master. All right, let's get back to some music to help us set the mood, if you will. And maybe now we've moved up to the, maybe the 1930s or something like that. Let's go to something, In the Jailhouse by Jimmy Rogers.
I had a friend named Ramblin' Bob, who used to steal, gamble, and rob. He thought he was the smartest guy in town. But I found out last Monday that Bob got locked up Sunday. They've got him in the jailhouse way downtown. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. I told him once or twice to quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. Played a game called poker, pinochle, whist, and yoker, but shooting dice was his greatest game. Now he's downtown in jail, nobody to go his bail. The judge done said that he refused a fine. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. I told him once or twice to quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now. Holly, holly. Holly, holly. Holly, holly. Holly. Went out last Tuesday, met a girl named Susie. I told her I was the swellest man around. We started to spend my money, then she started to call me honey. We took in every cabaret in town. We're in the jailhouse now. We're in the jailhouse now. I told the judge right to his face, we didn't like to see this place. We're in the jailhouse now. Holly, holly. Holly, holly. Holly, holly.
Well, we've gone from Vivaldi to Jimmy Rogers, so we've had all kinds of music here, and I guess that's a little bit important because the jack-o'-lanterns cover all kinds of time periods, right, John? They're from the very early beginnings right up to present day. Do they go that far?
Right, Mike. Well, we go all the way through the 1900s.
Okay.
And then we kind of skipped the 2000, I guess you could say. But we're going, we'll finish it with the Days of the Future Past.
Uh-huh. And
that'll consist of past, present, and future. So.
Excellent. Well, John, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you,
it's
Mike.
It's a pleasure to meet someone that's as talented as you are and have somebody like that in the studios. And thanks, and Diane, thank you for coming along. There's a lot of things that happen at the Roger Williams Park Zoo that we should probably have you back other than talking about the Jack-O-Lantern
Spectacular.
That would
be my pleasure. That would be wonderful.
And I know that this is a big deal, as we talked about. You have sponsors and so forth that help out with this.
We are very grateful to Citizens Bank. They are our presenting sponsor. Without them, this show would probably not happen. We're not-for-profit, and so we depend on quite a number of organizations and companies around the state and to work with us. So, but we are truly, truly grateful to Citizens Bank. So we're happy that they're still part of the show. You know, so we urge everyone to stop by between October 5th and November 5th. Get on the website. If you don't like to use the website, give us a call at area code 401-785-3510. And you can get information by either listening or talk to the folks at the admissions desk. And whatever you need to do to get a ticket, stop by. I think you'll really enjoy the show.
And the website is rwpzoo.org.
That's right.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Mike.
Nice to have you both with us. We'll go out with another piece of music that'll get us, into the 1960s with a little Bob Dylan and These Times Are A-Changin'. We'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone, and if your breath to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, 'cause the times, they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in your doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. 'Cause the battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Come, mothers, fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road's rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, 'cause the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slowest now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, 'cause the times, they are a-changing.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.